All right, you guys, we're back with more Pop Culture Junkie podcast with our special guest, Brad Perry. Brad, thanks once again for being here.
Yes, it's good. Now we ready to have a real talk?
Let's get deep. We are here recording from Olympus Games in Mesa, Arizona. I'm Haley.
I'm Shauna.
I'm Nicole.
This is Alex.
And tonight we are joined by Brad Perry. You've worked with some pretty big names, not to, you know, name drop on your behalf, but Keanu Reeves, which we did a whole series about Keanu Reeves, where he's kind of a big deal around here.
Yeah.
And you've worked with him, and you've worked with Sam Jackson, who we're currently doing a series on, so we need to hear these stories.
So, okay. He's got all the 101
hookups.
All right, Keanu, this is really crazy. So the movie is called Chain Reaction. What happened on that one is that they would write the script as they were going along.
What?
Yeah, so it was crazy.
Sounds like Lost.
So, but it's important to do improv, like you were saying.
No, it wasn't improv.
He was flying by the seat of your pants.
Hopefully he doesn't hear this, but he's not the best actor. Really.
See, I went into the Keanu Sans, is what we eventually called it. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Haley. Because, and I felt that way, like, I don't really know what kind of range this guy has.
He's a one-liner.
But after the whole 101, we saw like, what, six movies?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I can see his craft. I can see his craft.
Is not the speaking. That's not his craft. I think his craft is to the look. Yeah. I think the action that he can give and stuff. And
his stunts. We talked a lot about that.
Yeah. It's charming.
But his acting's not. So we kind of like became friends because I came over to help on that movie because I was off one that I was doing. And just started to know him a little bit more and just started to, you know, talk with him and stuff. And so it was kind of neat. He's a nice guy. Love him. Nice guy. He's a really cool guy.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. If Hollywood was full of, like, nice guys who were average actors, I'd still prefer that over the Kevin Spacey's, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. So,
I'll take it. Take it, Keanu. Crazy.
Yeah. But Samuel, I worked with on Losing Isaiah with Halle Berry.
Oh, that's so cool.
So and this is a great story. So I'm going to tell you right now, if you ever want to make yourself look dumb, I guess.
Every day.
Say that you know how to do something and then get called on it. So we're on the set and we're hanging out and everything like that and become friends with Sam. And he's like, you know, I want to go golfing. Can you set it up, Brad? I'm like, yeah. Because I was assistant on that movie. And so I said, sure, let me go set it up. So I set up golf. And he goes, why won't you come along? I'm like, oh, no. He goes, you said you play. Come on. I had these beat up clubs that I had gotten at Goodwill. All right. I don't think I had a putter in this thing. I had like one driver that was like a 5-wood. And I show up to go play golf with Sam, who has like a $2,500, you know, set of golf clubs. But he goes, ho, see what you are. Huh? Right, you're a ringer, aren't you?
Yeah, he thinks you're like, because it's a shark.
Exactly. He goes, oh, yeah, this is going to be good. So then again, too, he goes, I think we need to put some money on this.
Oh no.
I was like, Sam, I don't put no money on
it. Like, do you realize how much money you make?
Exactly. I'll tell you another story about that too. So anyway, so I'm like, I'll just do $100. He goes, all right, $100 this round. He's like, we get through the fourth round, we get to the fourth hole. He's like, dude, never tell me again you play. Never, because I had him looking for my golf balls.
Oh no!
I got to the ninth hole. I'm like literally walking over to the driving range and grabbing balls to hit because I lost every ball.
Brad's
I had
like, I watched someone golf once. Exactly. I saw Happy Gilmore on TNT.
Someone on some other hole is like, this ball has Sam Jackson on it.
You at least had clubs to bring with you. Like, no, so you've had some sort of.
I went to the store the day before. I went to the Goodwill store, and that's what I'm saying. I just found this set of rusty old clubs. Aww. that oh, just had a 5-wood and a no putter. And I was like, nah. He's like, oh.
These look legit. These are good.
So I would have done the exact same thing. I don't even care.
Absolutely been me. Completely.
So now this is the first, probably the first 2 weeks of the movie. So now we had another 8 weeks to go. Because back then they made, like, movies took a long time compared to now. So guess what happened for the next 6 weeks? Every day it was brought up, Brad, don't golf. And he was using, like, it was like, you know, that bleepity bleep 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 bleep, don't play golf. And so, can you be Brad? He took me out to the bleepity bleep 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 golf course.
This episode is PG for our audience who hasn't noticed yet.
And bleep bleep bleep. And he's like, and that Brad Perry, don't play golf. And so that was my experience with Sam. And ever since then, we've been friends, and he's just been a great guy and mentor, and just really nice. But
that's so
we're really enjoying our Samuel L. Jackson 101 so far. Yeah. We've watched
Pulp Fiction.
Yep. And last week was Shaft, and now we're going to watch Snakes on a Plane.
That was done, I think, out of a bet for him. I think he lost a bet to do Snake on a Plane.
I'm really excited to watch it. I've actually never seen it all the way through before.
Ooh, yeah, I mean, you said you don't drink or anything. You do.
Oh, I drink.
Yeah, drink. This is a good. If you want to play a game with that movie,
I absolutely do. Brad Perry.
Do you? All right, then you either have a bottle or at least a case of beer, and every time he says something about something, you drink.
So every time he says like a snake or the F word?
F word, yeah, the F word. Okay. Those, so
Nicole, we're going to do it together.
Yeah.
Oh, and Alex.
No, wait.
Sounds like alcohol poisoning.
I'm down. Let's do it. And then your liver shut down and I host this solo.
But you know, it's so funny that Samuel Jackson's not the biggest swear person.
I know the answer to this, but I'll let you say it.
No, all right, who is it?
It is Jonah Hill.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And they go for the record. Mm-hmm. And you know who almost beat him out was... Are you ready? Is
Jean-Claude Van Damme?
No, Brad Perry.
Bob Saget.
Whoa.
I could see that.
Bob Saget was a filthy mother ever.
Yeah.
He had.
So, yeah. So he was one that they were. Yeah. So no one realizes that. But yeah.
I mean, he had the aristocrats.
Exactly. That was the thing. Where, and then there was someone else. I forgot who the other person was that did it. But yeah. Yeah. So,
but, I'm pretty sure. Who is the other guy who just passed? Guy.
Gilbert Godfrey.
Oh, I was like,
that was a terrible Gilbert Godfrey. He had an aristocrats version as well. So it probably put him pretty high up there too.
There are some good ones. But yeah, I've been very lucky for
stick
for
the, with the Smeagol.
thank you. My Gilbert Godfrey is not gonna get me very far.
Oh my goodness.
I'm a podcaster, not a voice person.
So, but you know, I've been very lucky in this business to meet a lot of the celebrities and to really get to know them and meet them and see how they really are. And see, you know, their good side and bad sides. Samuel Jackson, that's one I can't wait to hear that one with you all.
Yeah.
Because that's when I want to get your all opinions and how many swear words and everything like that. And just it's a podcast. Are we governed by things? Or is that what happens?
No. The laws of
The internet? There are no laws on the internet. We do what we want.
No.
Oh, we kind of got into this really good. Oh my goodness.
All right, tell us a good fucking story, Brad Perry.
You really want, can I?
Yeah. Yes.
First of all, I know what you guys are saying. Like, oh my goodness, he's a morning show person and people watch him and they're going to listen to this and they're going to think, oh my goodness, what's going on? But I got to be real. And, and most of the people that watch me probably like, are just like me.
They want to see the side of
you. Yeah, they want to see the side. So what secret do you guys
want to know about? Secrets.
His hair is full of secrets.
You want Vegas? You want...
have you ever gotten drunk with a celebrity?
Oh my goodness, have I? Yes.
Okay, I want to hear a drunk celebrity story.
Let's see. Who would be the best person? Dennis Rodman.
Oh my God.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Dennis Rodman. So,
sounds like a great
back time. In the day, so I lived in LA working and stuff, and I went to Notre Dame and I knew a lot of football players, Todd Light, who's playing for the Rams, all these people and stuff. And so, we're at a party and I meet Dennis. We're all hanging out, we're talking, we're drinking and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, I don't know how this happened, but we end up back at Rupert Murdoch's son's house.
I hate it when that happens.
And we're in the guest house, which is literally like a house. Okay. This is a guest house. It's a house behind the house of like this place. And we're all back there and we're playing video games. And so we're playing, drinking, drunk off, everything like that. It was crazy. And all of a sudden, Rodman just turns and goes, I quit. And we thought, okay, he's quitting the video game.
Yeah.
No. Give my agent on the phone. I'm quitting.
What?
I'm like,
was he losing the video game?
Like, no.
I think he meant basketball.
Yeah, he quit Lakers. So no, all of a sudden,
like, what was it doing? Like, what was happening at that moment that made him really
drunk? I don't know.
Maybe he was enjoying it so much. He's like, these video games are lit.
This is where it's all at. I want to be in there.
So that's when, yeah, kind of. So that's where I got really drunk with him, and it was crazy. And that night just, I blacked out. All I remember is a friend calling me and going, dude, Dennis Rodman quit basketball. I go, I know, I was there last night.
He did? That's so weird.
I was there. What do you mean you were there? Yeah, I don't know. We were playing video games and he said he was quitting.
And then he threw up in the sofa.
No, that was me. Let's see, who else have I gotten? I will tell you, I've had some really good times at Tiger Jam. What was Tiger Woods' big concert event with celebrities and stuff. That was fun. Got drunk in Vegas quite a bit.
I want to get drunk in Vegas, but I've done that a lot. Maybe not with celebrities. Last weekend, Shauna.
So this one was where, we were doing Tiger Jam, and we went across the street. So I had asked a couple people, because I would always go to this place across the street called the Happy Jackalope, which is across the street. Dive, like, hotel and a dive bar in this place, which is right across from Mandalay Bay. So I have Bon Jovi, my buddy Jeff with me.
Oh, hell yeah, Jeff.
shout out to Jeff.
Oh, my goodness. What is his? Jennifer Lopez's way back husband.
Mark Anthony.
Oh, yeah. Some other people and stuff. And so we go across the Laughing Gym. That was a good drinking time. And we drank all night long, like sun up to sundown. It was awesome. Man. Night into it. It was great. And we get this bill, and I'm like, I invited those people. I got to pay this bill.
You're just going to pass it to Mark Anthony. So, you had that single out last year.
Right? You got that J-Lo money.
Way back, I was like, oh, man, this is not going to be good. And so I get the bill, and we were there for a long time. $50.
What?
I was like, oh, here's 100. I was like, I was being spent. Like, here goes 100. I impressed all Bon Jovi and everybody. I impressed you guys, right? The $100. I got this bill. Got this. And that was the reason why that I figured out that I forgot. When you play in Vegas, drinks are free.
Oh, yep.
Oh, yep.
And so only when you step away. So everybody was sitting at the table. But what was really cool is that they actually had, like, Bon Jovi knew, they had one girl sitting there at the gambling thing that just put slot money in her thing, and she'd play and order drinks. Yeah, can I get 4, blah, 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 and she's playing. So it was like,
yep,
the drinks were free. So it was good.
Wow. Clever girl.
Gosh, imagine drinking with Bon Jovi.
Oh, my God. I would love to drink with
Bon Jovi. Oh, my God. So you're talking about knowing somebody. So that's the first time I met Bon Jovi, and this was way back. But the way we met him was actually funny. My friend Jeff and I were at Tiger Jam. We're upstairs in a private area and stuff, and I don't know how we got up there. It was just, we got up there. And so we're sitting there, and we're having cigars. And back then, you could smoke a cigar anywhere. We're having cigars, and this girl comes in and sees my friend Jeff, and she sits next to him.
Shout out to Jeff again.
Yeah,
Jeff's awesome. The man.
So she sits down next to Jeff on the arm, and Jeff's kind of like looking at her, talking to her, and then John comes over and sits down in front of me and asks me for a light. We're talking and asks for a light. And so all of a sudden, I'm like, hey, dude, I need the lighter. I need the lighter. And so he just tosses the lighter. And John catches it, and he's like fumbling, and he's like looking at my friend like, what the hell? Like,
I'm John Boat.
Bon Jovi. So I'm laughing. I'm sorry, dude. And so we start talking, and like we just talk, and he's Catholic, and I practice Catholic and everything. And so we're talking and talking. He's talking about kids and everything. So we get this great bond and everything like that. And so he's like, well, I'm going to the bar to get some drinks. I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit here. So he gets up and leaves. And the girl next to my buddy just leaves too. And he's like, man, I almost had this girl, and she wanted to meet John. I'm like, yeah, don't worry. You want to meet John? Yeah, I'll introduce you to John. And we're talking and stuff like that. And then she just left, Brad. I don't get it. I go,
so weird.
John Bon Jovi was sitting right here. He goes, he was? I'm like, yeah, dummy. Like, that's what you could.
Please,
like,
cut to the two of them making out at the bar or something. Yeah.
So now I'm going to cut forward to here. He came here for a concert, and this is probably like 3 or 4 years. And he remembered me. Like, I was backstage. I got invited back again, and I see him. I'm like, hey, how are you? He goes, Brad. Is your friend with you who threw the lighter at me? That was pretty cool. So now let's go fast forward. And I'm in Brazil. And he's staying at the hotel that a friend of mine's staying at. And so I go in to see my friend while we're there for a shoot, doing a movie and stuff, a TV show. And so we go in and John's coming down the elevator. And all of a sudden he's like, Brad, what are you doing here? I'm like, oh, I'm here doing a little, you know, thing. We're going to go to the concert and stuff, because it was Rock and Roll Rio. Was really cool. And so he's like, remembers me and stuff. And then he goes, come watch the football game with us, because his son was playing at Notre Dame at the time. And so sat with him. But it was really cool that, like, he still remembered me all
that is
year.
So cool. So
that
it
is
was
cool.
Awesome. So, and then, see, I got a lot of stories. Like, this is me.
That's awesome.
The other one I get to brag about in Brazil is the boss.
Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
You didn't.
Oh my gosh.
You don't know the boss.
The boss.
So
I'm a fan of The Killers, so I know all about The Boss.
Yeah. So we're in Brazil and we're doing this film. We're doing this TV show. We're shooting and film. Well, I gotta say filming. I forget. I can't say shoot anymore. So filming. And so we go over because Neil Lofton, who is Bruce's guitar player, lives here. And his wife and them love me on Good Morning Arizona. Loves Tara Hitchcock, who I love Tara Hitchcock.
Shout out Tara Hitchcock.
You got to get her on. You want a movie person.
I would die if Tara Hitchcock came
really?
On the show.
All right, I'm going to give you your neck. You want a movie person. You know, that's all she does.
Really?
Jobs. Yeah.
Please.
I'll give you her number. You guys call her and tell her to get over here on the show.
Can I sing the Good Morning Arizona theme song with her, though?
I don't know. We'll see.
Wait till after the show. Show up.
There we go. That'll be for the Patreon.
So we're going to have dinner with Niels and his wife. And so we're heading over to the hotel. And the night before, we were with Bruce's bodyguard, having a good time, funny and everything, all this stuff like this. And so we're walking up to the hotel. And all of a sudden, Bruce and all of them are over at this gate. And the people are going crazy and stuff like that. And so we get through our little security thing. And they start walking back. Bruce gets in this van because they're going somewhere. And his security guard goes, hey, Brad, what's up, man? How you doing? And all of a sudden, out the side of the van, you Brad?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, yeah. Heard a lot about you. Nice to meet you.
Nice.
I was like, awesome. We go in.
Dead.
We go in, and we're in there, and now the whole E Street band is in there eating. But the weirdest thing is they're not eating together. Everybody's at separate tables. And Neil's
like, we don't like each other.
That's what it is.
So
weird. Neil's and them were at one table, and they had one of the organ player with them who was just so angry the whole time. He just complained the whole time.
That's like the pop culture junkies. So if we ever hang out, we're all at different tables at the bar.
I'll be the Max Weinberg by myself.
So there, and this is Clarence's nephew who looked just like him was there, and everybody. It was really cool, and so that was a real fun time. But the best thing was that I'm talking with Neil's. I'm like, hey. There's one song I love, you know, Hope and Dreams. Will you have him play it? And they're like, Bruce makes a set list. We don't do any of the set lists. I go, oh, just that one, please. So we're at the concert now, and they're doing their songs and stuff like that. And I'm off to the side, and I'm with Neil's wife, and who's standing aside with me and everything like that. And so all of a sudden, they start playing the song.
Yes.
And Bruce walks over to the stage and points to me. He goes,
nice.
And I was like, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I own you, Bruce. Yeah. Just kidding.
Yeah. I own you, Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah. Took off my underwear, threw it on stage. I was like, yeah, the boss. And then, they were choppering out of this place. And so they asked me, do you want to get on the chopper with us, you know,
yes.
to go out? I'm like, no.
What?
I'm like, no, first of all, we're in this foreign country, okay?
Okay.
All right. And I just knew how this was going to go. The chopper goes down, right? The chopper goes down, and this is how it reads in the paper. Bruce Springsteen's band members killed, and some black guy. That's how it was going to be. That's how it was going to read in the paper. Am I right? That's
that
how
is it goes. Totally anonymous this, black man.
Exactly. So I'm down here in this little corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on the corner. I'm just mentioned. It's like in some black guy.
I'm mysterious like, yeah, black man yeah. causes fatal wreck.
Right? Yeah. Then I get blamed. Well, the overweight or something like that or whatever. I wasn't, you know, drinking. But I did have, I'll tell you, I had a good time there. And that's when I watched some major drug deals go down.
Oh,
in
man.
Person.
Oh,
now we're talking. See, now the show's going good. He's like, now the show's
Jeff's over there sweating. He's like,
I know, Jeff is not. What's going on, dude? I'm almost up. But so two things. Like, we're doing this TV show pilot and everything. We're going up in the Villas. And the Villas are up in the mountains and just beautiful walking up there and stuff. But we're going up. And we saw a bunch of motorcycles because that's how they get up and down. So all these motorcycles was vroom, vroom, zooming past us as we're going up and doing our filming and stuff like that. And boom. So all of a sudden, we're done filming. We're walking a little bit and we have a guide with you. You got to have a guide. And so we got a little bit away from the guide and we turn this way. And all of a sudden, our guide goes, no, 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 this way, this way, this way. And so we turn and the camera guy with me, I'm like going, dude, did you see the guy with the Uzi? Nice.
Oh my God.
It was like Fast and Furious.
It was right? Worse than, it was scarier because he goes, I wasn't worried about the Uzi. I was worried about the bazooka the guy picked up.
Just a casual bazooka.
And so, and then our guide goes, thank goodness you didn't have your camera up because they probably would have shot both of you.
Wow. Oh my God.
Filming them as they're doing the drug deals and stuff. And so it was the craziest thing in the world.
But what you didn't know was that was Dominic Toretto.
Right, totally.
Facing behind off against Hobbs and Shaw in the middle of Brazil.
And you're talking about, this is so crazy. It's so beautiful there. And so now that night we had shot something, filmed something at a bar. I was drunk. I go down.
As one is.
And that's when, you know, isn't it kind of interesting? When you're drunk, you will eat anything, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like you will eat street food in any country, not knowing what you're eating.
I've never been drunk, but I do that anyways. I can't imagine what I would consume.
I get back to my hotel, and I'm hungry. And I ask the guys, like, you know, I want to get some food. And they're like, well, room service is still available. But I'm like, I saw this lady had a car out there, and she was serving hot dogs out with some little egg or something on top.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, really? No. I'm like, oh, I'll just go there. I'm going to be like a native. My mom told me to. So I go out and she gives me this hot dog that's got, I don't know what's on it. And then so it's beautiful. The beaches are all lit up at night. And it's nice to go and walk. So I go walk. And my mom always told me, you know what? Don't be a tourist.
Enjoy the local cuisine.
Exactly. Yeah. Enjoy and be a local. Mm-hmm. So I see this old guy sitting at this table and I just kind of like, oh, I sit down with him. He says something to me in Portuguese and I just smile and I'm like, because I'm drunk and I'm eating everything like this.
He's like, so, don't eat that, dude.
Yeah.
Do not eat that.
That's what he said.
And you're like, oh, that's cute.
And so, but I think I know what he said because then what happens is this other guy comes over to him and like talks to him in Portuguese. They point to me and I just, I'm like, whatever. And the old guy's like, I don't know. And the guy drops, you know, a wad of money on the table.
Oh, no.
Old guy gets on his little phone. This kid on a bicycle goes by, drops a package on the table.
They're like, we have to kill this guy with the hot dog.
Goes the other way. I'm like, did that really just happen?
Nice.
No. I'm drunk. I'm just like, no, I'm like thinking, you know, blah, blah, blah. So then another guy comes over to the old guy, talks to him, and like, old guy picks the phone again. The kid comes the other way, drops a bag on the table. Guy gets a walk away. And we're not talking like hiding it. I'm like talking the full-fledged like, bag of cocaine being dropped on a table in the open in Brazil.
It was just a Christmas present exchange. It was like a Secret Santa situation.
It was just their sugar they make in Brazil.
It was sugar.
Exactly. It was just flour. The guy was going home to bake. And so that was happening in front of me.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, I gotta leave. This is not very smart of me. So I just nod my head, I get up and I leave. And this kid who I had seen earlier in the day comes running over to me, nose with coke on it, going, hey, dude, you want to go to the back of the room? You okay or anything? And so you're talking to the guy. Yup, you ready for them? I'm like, no, I'm okay. I'm good.
I like to picture you with this hot dog the entire time.
Exactly. Just eating. These are my stories that, again, you won't find when I come to your school as a 3-year-old. So these are stories.
I was at least seven.
Listen up, fifth graders. Tell you about a time.
Let me tell you a time in Vegas. When I was.
So have you kids ever done a fuck ton of cocaine?
Let me
I know
you.
A place for you.
I will say that's a big thing about, you know, we talk about my business that we're in. It is about going out and living life and having fun. There was a time that, I was worried about my image a little bit and worried about what people think and stuff. And I would be very quiet and kind of like, oh, no, don't talk about that. But now I think I've reached a point where I'm like, you know what? Just be honest with people and have fun because everybody's doing it. And you know what's so funny is that the people that you will think that might not like it are going to love it because they're going to enjoy it. And so
I completely feel that way about like just having tattoos and piercings and stuff at work sometimes, people are like, oh, no, 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 they're not. The older people aren't going to like it. And the people who compliment me the most are older people who are like, little lady.
You're looking fly.
I sure do. You look fly today.
Yeah. I like how the old people who come in are not actually old people. They're just like Conan O'Brien doing an impression of an old person.
Absolutely.
Well, speaking of, let's talk late night really quick. What do you think about James Corbin leaving, you know, television?
We are not James Corbin fans.
Okay, anyway, so hey.
You know what? Wow. I'm sure he is a lovely human being. Yeah. Or maybe not. Maybe he's a total ass. I don't know. But I like Carpool Karaoke. And
I do like some. I like the Gaga episode.
I like some of the like Crosswalk, the
musical
thing.
And the Michelle Obama. Yeah.
But other than that.
I like him.
Yeah.
Even though he's in every movie.
I don't like him. I like the whole Spill Your Guts or Fill Your Guts.
Mm. Yeah.
I like that. A couple That's like fun. A good segment.
But I feel like there's not anything that he does that like Jimmy Fallon couldn't do.
True. I'm going to sit down.
Over Fallon, though.
I'm sleeping by the time those shows come out.
I don't watch late night TV anymore because I like Conan O'Brien. Yeah. So I listen to his podcast and stuff. So
okay. So let me ask you this. So now I'm going to ask you guys the questions a little bit.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Okay.
From the
okay. We got this.
Let me ask you, as we're sitting here talking, maybe you can help me, but what are we looking at the future of pop culture? I mean, I know it's a lot you guys talk on here and different things, but do you think some of the stuff that we're seeing with the younger kids now is going to be the pop culture that we'll be talking about? Or is it stuff that we're doing now and what we've seen in the past? You know, I mean, what do you guys think the future is?
I see a lot of younger stars, even at the Met Gala and just on BuzzFeed and such, that I'm like, I don't know who these people are. And I kind of like that. It's younger folks who are, I mean, in their early 20s and stuff, who are kind of coming up the ranks. And I like seeing kind of random, not even random, but I like seeing unknown names be cast in things. It's like in some of these Marvel films, I feel like sometimes they cast people for the sake of casting them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's cameos just for
Charlize Theron.
Spoiler.
Wow.
Sometimes there's cameos for the sake of a cameo, and I'm kind of over that. I want to see some fresh blood.
Well,
there.
I was gonna say, you think we're getting to the point now where we are? It's nice that we know Kiana, we know Samuel, we know all these faces. But is it nice that we're looking now to see new faces
out there
to bring us in the theater than knowing, oh, there goes you know Tom Cruise again, you know, anything like that?
I absolutely
agree. Well, it's the pop culture.
It's interesting because teaching high school, like I, for the last 10 years, I've gone from watching all the same things as my students. Like my early graduating classes, like I'm friends with some of those kids now because I was 21, 23 when I started. And now I don't watch or listen to or even know like anything that my students are engaging with. And in large part, that's because they, you know, I have my pocket of kids who they all go watch the Marvel stuff and we chat about that. But for the most part, they don't watch TV. They don't watch movies.
They watch YouTube and TikTok.
Yep. Yeah. And Nicole is laughing because that's her. Like she has even said, she's like, I'm not a movie person. Like I cannot sit down and watch an entire movie. To me, I don't know what that means for the future of pop culture because I love I'm TV over movies.
Me too. Yeah.
But I love TV as an art form and I love that streaming has allowed for so many more options.
And the budgets to even increase. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I agree. Like I'm a TV person too. And like you watch some of these television shows and they're movie quality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With the effects and everything. Like I remember like watching, I mean, Buffy the Vampire Slayer back in the day is like, that's my favorite show of all time. And the effects don't quite hold up. No. But they had a TV budget. And even like Once Upon a Time, the special effects on that, or a television budget. Yeah.
So do you think, so let me ask you that. You're talking about those reboots. Are we looking at maybe time to stop the reboots and actually, you know, even though we know every show is based off of something, but we're seeing more reboots and we're seeing with the TikToks and the streaming. I mean, what do you think of that?
I think going back to the question we just previously answered, me personally, I think social media and TikTok and that type of thing is going to be the next wave of things if it's not already, because you see all these TikTok stars getting their movie debuts when they're not actors, actresses. They did not go to school and practice this. They're just getting this because of who they are on social media. So I think that's going to kind of be the new wave of how they get these people into these types of positions, because you have that younger audience that knows these people and they're going to ask their parents, or they're just going to go on their own to see this movie, and that's going to cause this movie to just grow with money-wise, like at the box office. But then, yeah, I guess the one that pops in my head, because it's just brought back up recently, is the whole Lizzie McGuire one. They, it was, she's 30 years old now, and they didn't want to do it because she was going to be...
She's going to be a 30-year-old.
Yeah. She was going to be out at bars and stuff, and they're like, no, we can't show that. And it's like... Well, I feel like people, I watched Lizzie McGuire and you guys probably did too.
I loved it. And I was so disappointed when it was canceled. And it's funny because they did it with iCarly, but that's Nickelodeon. And I feel like Nickelodeon and Disney already have such a
So
different...
I feel like reboots in that type of sense where it's been like 10 years.
And then we bring it back while they're older.
Right. Like my generation, I think it would be super popular and super great. But an older show that's coming back, I don't know if that's...
Or bringing back, like, so when we've seen the original cast brought back, like, that has not worked. Like,
bringing back that 70s show to be that 90s show now. And they're going to have the original cast on there.
I'm not remotely guessed.
That 80s show bombed.
Or, like, The Wonder Years, isn't that
a reboot for that?
Yeah. Well, they did the reboot, but they put a whole different family. So that was, that's why it worked.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, until Fred Savage just got fired from it for misconduct allegations.
Well...
I feel like Brad culture, has a story there, but we won't say it on the podcast.
I feel like pop culture, I think in the future, it'll just be a different definition. As in, you know, pop culture is just going to be evolving. And a lot with like art and stuff, and like as it progresses and evolves through time, it's a lot of it just like breaking barriers, like doing new things that are different from like older generations, but still using some of that stuff.
Yeah.
So like when we're talking about like reboots and things, TikTok and YouTube, a lot of those things have like sounds and music that we might be familiar with from things from before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think even now, just like coming into this future of pop culture, I feel like it's a little more personal now because it's the YouTubes and the TikToks.
We get to see like an insight into people's lives.
Yeah, before it's like, here's this movie. You know, if you relate to it, you relate to it. Here's all this thing. I feel like it was more controlled, the kind of pop culture people will receive.
Yeah.
And now there's more of a grasp to make things more about
and
the individual.
It forces studios to be more connected with their audiences, because if they're not creating something, like Timmy in his basement will make something. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah.
So
all with their phone.
Exactly. Yeah, they have to be more connected. And I mean, I don't think you guys remember Tubi? Wasn't that what it was called?
Yeah. That lasted like a month.
It lasted for like a second.
Quibi.
Yeah, that's the one. They had a lot of big name stars. Like,
yeah, I was watching the Kevin Hart show. Yeah.
The whole idea with that was like, let's make a whole show, but let's make it in like TikTok clips.
Yep.
So you'd watch a whole thing, and it tanked. Mm-hmm. It didn't do well. And I remember seeing that and thinking, oh, this is it. Like, this is the future.
This is the generation.
Because people won't sit and watch a whole thing, but they'll watch. It's like, we joke all the time. I'm like, a 2.5 hour movie, hard pass, 7 45-minute episodes, I got you.
Mm-hmm. You son of a bitch, I'm in.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I thought, oh, this Quibi thing's going to take off. And then it just totally took a nosedive. So I think that you're never going to replace the half hour, the 45 minute, the hour long. You're never going to replace like the actual content with 15 second videos.
Yeah.
But... Like you were saying, Nicole, like they're going to supplement it somehow.
Yeah.
Well, we are starting to see, you know, pretty much half hour movies now.
Yeah.
I mean, HBO Max has launched a half hour movie.
That's true. That was kind of off that like SNL sketch kind of.
Well, no, it was before it.
Was it?
So then Netflix started to jump on that. Yep. But yeah, actually HBO Max has started these half hour movies. And actually there's a good one on there about a guy who goes to prison. He's wrongly accused. You got to watch it. That's another one too. It's real, and it all takes place in one room.
It's amazing.
It's really cool. But I mean, that's what I think. But you said about with Quibi. I think Quibi was before its time, and I think it is going to be back. And I think the big thing was, and I hate to say this, that the two of them really made it to sell the technology.
Yeah,
I don't think was really where they were trying to make it into this new thing. Because if they did, they would have stayed with it because. Yeah. Everybody went to those longer formats. Think about what, you know, Meta did, with Instagram, or what TikTok and Snapchat are doing. They're doing those Quibi things now.
Yeah.
So I think it was just where I think they wanted the technology, sold it to Roku. And now, you know, they sold all the library to Roku. The technology, I don't know who they sold it to.
Someone's making some money there,
though. But someone's about to.
Well, and it's weird because the... Like, not even 10 years ago, I remember, you know, cutting the cord, right? Getting rid of cable.
Yeah.
And being like, you know what would be nice is if I could just pay for the channels I want instead of having to pay for
but
all
now
these
there's 15 different channels you exactly. have to pay for, and it makes up to the cost
now
of
there's
cable.
So many that it's like, I can't, can I really justify paying for the Peacock app, you know, like right. I just, I'm at a point where I'm feeling burnt out. Now there's the rumor that Netflix is going to start having ads so that because they're running, they're spending too much money on Stranger Things and stuff. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know, like I feel a little burnt out with the content. So I feel like we've now, like, the pendulum has swung the other way where it's like so much content and now it's so overwhelming. You're like, how can I?
Yeah, it feels like you're missing
up?
Something. Like before, like you were talking about controlled media where it's brought to you, it's a lot harder to look for it because of the library being so, like, wide.
Yeah.
I do miss kind of a where everybody is talking about the same thing. And I know we have that in some capacity with Marvel, right? You go, everyone's talking about Multiverse of Madness, a new season of Ted Lasso comes out, everybody's talking about it. But even still, it's not like cross-generation. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it used to be with appointment TV, it's like you're sitting down to watch Law and Order with your parents.
I see, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you guys are watching it all together. Mm. Whereas now it's like kid is in his room watching TikTok, parents are watching Ted Lasso, grandparents are still watching Jeopardy. You know what I mean?
They could even be in the same room and watching and completely watching different things.
That's right.
True. So I do miss that aspect. Like I started watching The X-Files when I was 6 years old because my brother was watching it. There's no way that that would happen today, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you miss out on, I think.
Yeah.
Unless you force everybody to the living room and like cast it. Yeah. Like,
I don't know. I feel like, I feel like you miss out on some of that stuff.
Oh. So. I'm glad I asked that question. Opened up the Florida law thing. Mm-hmm. So there you go. But like I said, but it's a different story where I think our entertainment. So, I mean, I turned down this young person here, and so is your...
He turns away from all of us.
Well, because we talk about, like you said, you can sit, you know, 2 hours or something for a movie, maybe not, but for, you know, 7 45-minute, you know, series, you're going to sit there and watch a whole thing in one night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So do you feel like as we are starting to evolve into that TikTok, Snapchat world, are we going to lose seeing something longer and start seeing it completely shorter and not get a full-fledged feeling for a movie or for a TV show?
I think so. I think the attention span of people younger and younger is just getting shorter and shorter.
And how do we change that?
I think the art of cinema isn't going to go anywhere. No. I mean, I think that our parents and our parents' parents have probably all had this conversation to some extent that we're having right now, or my kids won't get out of that TV. Oh, my kids won't stop playing, you know,
video games,
that Nintendo. It's like every generation has this iteration of what we're speaking about.
Because even still, even if it's just a short clip, you know, you keep watching it because you want more.
Yeah.
So, and I think too, is that like these kids who are younger and younger, they are getting tablets where they can access YouTube, which is what, like 15-minute videos that they can watch, like Cocomelon or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And like that is what they're growing up on. So them sitting there watching a 2-hour movie is like draining them because they're not used to that because of this technology that younger kids are getting.
I've got like, I don't know, this conversation pains me. I just, like, I'm teaching Fahrenheit 451 to my students now.
Oh, wow.
Which is, you know, all about the dangers of technology and stuff. And it was written in the 50s, which is super funny.
See, every generation. Every
but that's
generation
the thing is,
it.
Like, you know, again, as a teacher, like, my 10 years ago, to now, it's completely different because my students will not look up from their phones.
Mm-hmm.
They will not. And so they're not learning. They're not engaging. They've lost the ability to think critically. Like they've lost the ability to engage in conversation. And my biggest issue is not that they're watching things. It's what they are watching because the things that they are watching are they do not have educational value. They don't have like redeeming. There's no, they're watching a live stream of a kid play a video game.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, or they're watching a bunch of TikToks of people dancing in their living room. And so to me, when I talk about, you know, the art form of TV and movies and stuff. Like, for me, it's not so much that you're watching something. You could watch something for 8 hours, but if that thing to me, if that thing is educational, or that thing can teach you a life lesson, or that thing can influence you to make positive decisions, then that's a positive thing. But if the thing is just mindless and you're just consuming stuff and you're not actually thinking critically about the thing that you're consuming, that's where the problem lies.
I think it has to be a good balance, though, because, like, I know I watched as a teenager a stupid amount of VH1. I watched dumb amounts of Pop-Up Video and Rock of Love and Flavor of Love.
Next.
This is stupid. And Next, and like stupid television that, mm-hmm. I mean, I watched Ren and Stimpy, like things that are not providing me with any critical thinking.
So I wonder if it's just like the age.
I think it's the age.
You know, maybe later in the future, like, you know, let me think about what.
Well, but see, I still like watching the 1 minute things. I mean, actually, mm-hmm. I created a 60 second series. You know, because I know that's where a lot of people are and what they're watching.
Yeah.
So I had to come up with that to do. But also, too, I'm looking at long form, especially when it comes to local TV or TV where we need to get back to that.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, too. I mean, so.
I still think there's an audience for that. I really do.
I think so, too. Yeah. I think it's all coming. Like you said, you're getting burned out from, you know, the watching the streaming and all the different ones where you're trying to find everything. And now it's kind of interesting that you just sit back and click on local television.
Yep.
And it's just kind of like, it's almost, I think it's almost like real.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden it's over, it's done. You can't go back and rewatch it unless you have, you know, DVR or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you turn on, it's over. And I think that what we're getting back to compared to constantly watching the streams over and over. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if my grandma wanted to watch us on, you know, Channel 7 in Phoenix, she TiVo'd it.
Yeah.
Like, my dad sat down and, like, I told him what time, hour or so we were going to be on, and, like, they old school recorded TiVo. It. Yeah, like,
TiVo.
I still have family members who did that when we were on TV.
I saw the beta. I throw the beta in to record me. So,
yeah. I found a VCR in my garage the other day.
So, yeah,
I have a VCR in my garage.
I got 8-track tapes.
Look at that. So. All right, we're going into our third hour on the Pop Culture Podcast.
We're going to keep talking about Brad Perry's cocaine stories.
We've gone full circle.
Full circle. That's pop culture.
No, I love it. That's my favorite.
This conversation has been wild and deep, superficial and funky. Thank you, Brad, for being here. It was a lot of fun. Like I said, it's good having fresh blood in here. And it was fun to laugh. So thank you.
Appreciate it.
Tell everybody where they can see you if they want to check you out on TV. All where do they go?
There, where you can go is you can go to AZTV 7, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday. Or you can catch me 7 a.m. on Saturdays and Sunday. And you can, of course, go to AZTV.com or follow me on Instagram at Brad Perry Show.
Awesome. Alex, what about you? Where can they find you?
You can find me at ALCASNUN on Instagram and Twitter.
Nicole?
You can find me on Instagram and TikTok at Nicole_Eldridge and on Twitter at NALdridge14.
And Shauna?
You can find me at Shauna Trinidad, SHAUNATRINIDAD on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can find me, Haley, on Instagram at SHAUN. Oh, no, wait. At 30 Nerdy Thriving on Instagram. And as always, you can find us on our website, popculturejunkie.com. Sign up for our email list, get a recap of pop culture news, and find out what we're up to and where we will be. Be sure to come see us at Phoenix Fan Fusion later this month, recording an episode live and hosting a pop culture trivia panel.
Haley and I may or may not be in cosplay.
We definitely will.
We will be.
I will be. And Nicole will be in cosplay too. You guys can't miss out on that.
They gotta come now. They have to.
You can also check us out on Facebook at the Pop Culture Junkie Support Group and on Twitter at Pop Junkies and on Instagram at pop.culture junkies. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of our podcast. Come back next week for another hit of pop culture.
Pop Culture Junkie is a production of Pop Culture Entertainment Group.